Father, I thank you for your word. It is spirit and life to us, Lord. It is always what we need. I pray, Father, that you would just cause us to see, cause us to understand what you desire to communicate to us today. And Father, I pray that we would carry out, that we would fulfill your purpose and your vision in our lives and for your church. In Jesus' name, amen. His church. I want to share a message with you about his church. It is Jesus' church. The church was his idea. It's his plan and it's his purpose. The church is his people, his body, his bride. Now, the Greek word for church is ekklesia. Very literally, it means called out. The word, of course, refers to a group of people who have been brought together. Now, from the very beginning, God has always had a plan to have a people for himself, a people that would be his very own. And that's exactly what the church is. It is God's people, a people that have been called out from the world to be God's people. Jesus came to reconcile us to God, to restore the relationship between God and man. He came to reconcile us so that we could be close to God. That's why he came, to seek and to save that which was lost. That was the cause of Christ. That's the very reason that he came into this world, was to redeem for himself a people, his church. Just before he was taken and crucified, he told his disciples in John 12 and 27, he says, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour." Jesus says the very reason that he has come is for this cause. There is a cause, all right? The cause of Christ was to come to die on the cross to save us, to redeem for himself a people, his church. Jesus was committed to that cause, to reconcile us to God, to gather a people for himself. And what's he call it? The church. Some people look at the church as just an organization. It's kind of a popular mindset and attitude in America today, even amongst many people who consider themselves to be Christian. They consider the church to just be an organization. Some people don't like the church. I'm talking about Christians. Even some Christians, they don't like the church. And even stranger is some people who attend church some and go to the church some, yet really don't think that church is that important. But Jesus loved the church, and he gave himself for it. Ephesians 5 and 25 says very plainly that Christ loved the church, and he gave himself for it. You see, the church is not a building. The church is not just some earthly organization. The church isn't a religious institution. It is the body of Christ. The church is God's people. And Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. And you know, we need to watch, be careful that we have a biblical mindset regarding the church. It's his church. He loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, Jesus Christ died for everyone who will put their faith and trust in him, whosoever will. But who are those whosoever wills? The church. Those who believe in him, those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Lord and Savior, they become part of the church. They are members of the body of Christ, part of the universal church of the Lord Jesus. The first time the word church is used in the Bible is when Jesus himself said in Matthew 16 and 18, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." He said that he was going to build it. He said, "I will build my church." And it's his will. He said, "I will." It's not the will of a man. It is the will of God. He said, "I will build my church." He's going to build it. And you know what? For 2,000 years, he has been building his church. Nothing has been able to stop it. Nothing has been able to stop the plan of God, to hold back the church. Even the very gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. But he said, I will build my church. It's his church. He's the one building it. And I'll tell you, there won't be anything that stops it. All through history, Satan has schemed and planned and worked and tried, but he has failed. In the early church, when persecution began and Stephen was stoned to death, it only caused the church to spread and to grow faster. The end result of Satan's attack against the church was that God turned it around and used it. And God blessed the church and it grew even faster. In America today, the latest scheme of Satan, it's not outright persecution of the church. We're not experiencing that type of persecution where we fear for our lives or fear that we'll be imprisoned for sharing the gospel with somebody. But one of the tools of Satan in this day and time is just simple attitudes and philosophies of our generation that hinder the church. You know, they say that in this society, most people's favorite word is I. Just a little bitty tiny word, I. Even when it comes to Jesus and his church, people say things like, I want, how I feel, what I think, what I believe. It's all about me. Three attitudes of the day that undermine the church. Incidentally, they all begin with the letter I. The first is isolationism. You can be in a crowd of people like you are right now and yet be all alone. Here in the Metroplex, you can be surrounded by hundreds of thousands of people. It's crowded everywhere you go, and yet you can be lonely. George Gallup found in his polls and surveys that Americans are some of the loneliest people in the world. So busy with activity, everybody's running here and there and got so much to do, and we're around people all the time, and yet people are lonely. It is this atmosphere and attitude of isolationism. Most people don't even hardly know their neighbors' names, much less what's going on in their lives, much less whether or not they know Jesus, what church they go to or don't go. And you know, the list is long. We could talk about how little some of us know one another. And you know, as the church grows, in a large church, it's certainly difficult to know everybody. But what I'm talking about is all too often, there are people that attend church, attend services at a church, and yet don't hardly know anybody. And I want to tell you, that's not healthy. That's not the way he designed it and planned it. But it's this mentality of isolationism. Church, we need to tear down those kinds of walls so that we can have the relationships that God desires for us to have. See, we need to understand the church is about a group of people that he has gathered together for himself. It's not about an individual. He saves each and every one of us as individuals, and he loves each and every one of us as individuals. But the church is a group of people that he has brought together for himself. The second attitude that's so prevalent in our generation is individualism. It's all about me, how it affects me, what does it do for me, what's in it for me. I'm my own man, my own person. What I do is my business. Who cares what they do? That's their business. But I do what I want, when I want, and how I want. The attitude of individualism. And you know, that sounds pretty good. It sounds real American, doesn't it? Until you say Jesus is Lord, because then it's not what I want, but it's what he wants. Let me tell you whose will is important here. It's where Jesus says, I will build my church. It's not about us and what we want. It's about what He wants. But that attitude of individualism, you know, it's not new. It started when there was just about four or five people on earth. Am I my brother's keeper? And what a lie and what a deception it was when Cain said those words after he had killed his own brother. Am I my brother's keeper? And you know what? It's still just as much a lie and a deception of Satan when we fail to have relationships where we care for one another and keep up with one another and love one another as Jesus said that we should. The Bible says that we are members one of another. The third attitude is independence. I don't need anybody else. I can make it just fine all on my own. I know there are a lot of believers today that just want to show up for church and they don't want to be involved. They don't want to have any interaction, relationships with other people. They just want to show up for church, sing some songs and hear some preaching and go their way. But that's not what church is. Listen to me now. Church is not having some services. Church isn't a building, but it's also not just having services. Now we need to understand the church is God's people who He has gathered together for Himself. That's what the church is. And certainly we call it church. We're having church, amen, when we have worship and we hear the preaching of God's word. But we need to understand that the church literally is God's people who have been born again. That attitude of independence that says, I don't need anybody else, it is in opposition to the teaching of Scripture, where the Scripture says very plainly in 1 Corinthians 12:21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. We all need one another. Every one of us. It's not just me and Jesus, I don't need anybody else. And it's not just me and my four, no more. No, we all need one another. None of us can look to another part of the body of Christ and say, well, I don't need them. No, we do need each other. We need to see that those attitudes that are so prevalent in our generation, how they have invaded into the church and just the influence of the world around us. Church, we need to realize what Satan is using against the church here. Because what Jesus wants is He wants the church to be one. He wants to build His church. He wants His church to grow. And He wants His church to be one. See, we need each other. I like to put it like this. There's no Lone Ranger Christianity. By the way, even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. There's a lot of Christians out there that want to play Lone Ranger, and it just doesn't work. It, you know, and even if you want to say it's working for me, well, what about the people that you need to be helping? It's not working for them. But in the Bible, it's never just about me. It's always about we. We are the sheep of His pasture. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. That's what the Bible says. We are His body. Ephesians chapter 1 says that the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. We are all the body of Christ Jesus. We are His bride that He's returning for. And Jesus wants us to be one. John chapter 17, if you have your Bible, turn there quickly. John chapter 17, we're going to read verses 20 through 23. This is part of the prayer of Jesus just before He is arrested and taken. And He says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in Me through their word. And this is one of those instances where God just makes it so plain and so clear in His word that this was not just for back then. This is not just for a certain few people. But He included you and I in this prayer when He says, I pray not just for these, but for all those who will believe on Me through their word. That's you and I. He's including you and I here in this prayer. And he says, that they all may be one. As you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. He is praying that we will be one just as he and the Father are one. Listen, from the very beginning of time, he and the Father have been one. And he is praying that you and I, the church of the Lord Jesus, will be one in that same way. He says, perfect as one. Now, you know, he's talking about the universal church of Jesus Christ, his people all around the world. But I think there's a danger here that sometimes people want to think of this as just some mystical unity. Nothing real, just kind of some strange mystical unity of oneness that he's praying for here. But it's that kind of religious thinking that nullifies, as Jesus said, makes the word of God of none effect. No, he's talking about something that's real, something that's so tangible, he said that the world would believe that the Father had sent him because of our unity, because we are one. He said that the world would know that the Father had sent him because we are one. Well, it's right there. It's right there in verse 21. He says, the world may believe that you sent me, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And then in verse 23, he says, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me. How's the world going to know? Because of the unity in the body of Christ. Jesus said, by this will all men know you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. Now, we're supposed to love everybody, even our enemies. But he said it very plainly there, that if we have love one for another, then the world will know that we're his disciples. How's the world going to know that Jesus is real? How are they going to know that God really did send Jesus? Because we are one. You see, one of the tools of Satan to slow down and hinder the work of Jesus Christ and the body of Christ has been the disunity and the division in the body of Christ. It's not new. The Apostle Paul asked the Corinthians, he says, is Christ divided? And yet we see in our generation, in our time, so many divisions. The body of Christ is so disjointed and disconnected. We need to understand that it is his church, and he wants to bring it together in unity. And he wants to work through his church to reach people. That's his cause. That's the cause of Christ, and that's what he's called us to. But not just the universal church. I'm talking about here in the local church, how we need to get rid of walls of division. We need to get rid of anything that hinders so that we can have that kind of closeness, oneness. You know, when Jesus is talking about us being one, there's a closeness there. There's a relationship that's implied. Church, we need to develop close relationships with one another. We need to see that in the body of Christ, we really are a body. We have to be connected to one another through relationships. Flip over to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4. Now, the scripture says several times that we are members of the same body. We need to understand that we are all part of the body of Christ. In verse 4, he says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. What's the point here? We're one. We have so much in common. And you know, when you look at people on the outside, you look at their clothing and their hairstyle and their personality, and we all come from different cultures and backgrounds, different walks of life. But you know, we need to look past that and realize that we have so much in common with one another, that we serve the same Lord. We've been washed in the same blood. We've been filled with the same Holy Spirit. We have the same Father. And as we serve the Lord together, we need to realize that we really are one. It's amazing how that Satan can try to use little differences of opinion and all kinds of petty things to divide people and to separate people. But church, we need to remember that what it's really all about is Jesus, what He did for us, and that He wants to reconcile the world to Himself. We need to put aside those old attitudes of isolationism, individualism, independence, and have the attitude of love and unity and oneness. If you go down just a little further in that same chapter, Ephesians chapter 4, down to verse 16. From Him, from Christ, the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, God causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now let's just go back through this again. From Him, Jesus, the head, the whole body is joined and knit together. You see, the body is not to be disjointed and disconnected, one part over here and one part over there. You know, the way we have it nowadays, a lot of times, well, all the hands gather over here and all the eyes gather over there. No, the body is not to be disconnected, disjointed, but we're all joined together by that which every joint supplies. You know, in the NIV, it uses the word ligaments. And, you know, it's relationships that hold us together, that pull us together. And, you know, I think that our growth groups provide an opportunity to develop relationships where we can get to know other people and relate to people and find a new closeness with people, much more so than you're ever going to find on a Sunday morning coming for worship service. As important as that is, listen, it can't fulfill all that needs to be taking place amongst the body of Christ. But we're joined and held together. And then he says, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. You see, every part, every member, every person in the body of Christ has something to add. Every person has a purpose, a function, something to share in the body of Christ. And sometimes people may feel like they're not important. But you know, the Bible addresses that very clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that just because you're not like another member or you don't have the same function as another person, you can't say you're not part of the body. You're still necessary. You're still needed in the body of Christ. But as each part does its work, what happens? It causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself. Now, I believe that there's a spiritual meaning there. I believe that he's talking about that spiritually the body grows and matures. But I believe he's also talking about numerically that the body grows and builds itself up in love. How does that happen? It is through relationships. It's as each part does its work in love. As we do what God has given us to do in the body of Christ, and we build relationships with one another, you see, we're also going to see the body of Christ grow and built up. That's what church is. That's what the body of Christ is. It is about a group of people that are connected with one another, that are growing in the Lord and growing in number as each part does its work. It is the church that Jesus uses to reach people. But the church is only really effective in reaching people when our relationships with one another are strong. It's only through biblical community that the church can truly function as it's intended. You know, we all need other believers. And I know that that attitude of independence is so strong that many times we can just say, you know, we can kind of have the mindset, well, no, I just fine all by myself. But that's just a deception. You know, certainly you can make it by yourself, just you and Jesus, if you're thrown in prison and you're by yourself. Or you're in the lion's den with just you and the lions. You know, certainly you can make it all by yourself when you're put in that position. But that's not what Jesus intends for the church. That's not how the body of Christ is intended to function. No, we all need one another, and we can grow stronger together. We're supposed to love one another. We're supposed to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We're to confess our faults one to another, pray for one another so that we'll be healed. We're supposed to encourage one another daily. Daily. You see, that's body ministry. Those are the kinds of relationships that are supposed to be taking place every day in our life, that we help one another, love one another, build each other up every day. All of us need fellowship. All of us need meaningful relationships within the body. Not just, hi, how are you? Well, what do you think about this weather? No, we need something a little deeper than that. All of us need friends at church. And I'm just going to say this. I realize that it may rankle somebody, but you know, sometimes we just got to speak the truth in love. Amen. That's right there in Ephesians chapter 4 also. We just got to speak the truth in love. And let me just tell you that our best friends should be at church. I mean, the people that we are closest to, it ought to be people that love Jesus and that, you know, are serving the Lord and have the same convictions and values, and that ought to be our best friends. You know, the Bible asks this question, what fellowship does light have with darkness? And yet so many Christians, their best friends aren't at church. No, we need to develop those relationships here. Relationships that are based on spiritual things. Not just carnal things like which team do you like. Some people are religious about it. They get together with their friends and their friends, see? Their friends, and they're going to have a party and watch their team and, you know. No, we need to have friendships and closeness, relationships with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And so there may be times when you're like, gee, I don't have anything in common with this person other than Jesus. But that's enough. You know, as we share the Lord together and we share the work of the Lord together, we need that kind of fellowship, that kind of closeness, that kind of accountability with one another. When John Wesley traveled and preached, brought revival, one of the things that he did was he used small groups. He called them classes. He just called them classes. Nowadays, you wouldn't want to use that because somebody would think it sounds too much like school. But he just called them classes, and it was through these small groups that there was a lot of teaching, a lot of accountability. But it was a regular habit amongst him and these small groups. They didn't say, hey, how's it going? How are you doing? They said, how is it with your soul? That's a little personal, isn't it? But you know, sometimes we need to ask people. We need to say, how are you and Jesus doing? In fact, I like to ask people that, so just be ready for it. I'll be asking you, all right? How are you and Jesus doing? You know, we need to get a little deeper than just, how's it going? I'm fine, even when we're not. Now, we need those kinds of relationships where we truly care for one another and love one another, pray for one another, build one another up. Listen, the Bible says, Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up, but pity the man who falls down and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands cannot quickly be broken. You see, there's power in unity. There's power in relationships. We all need that. We need to draw together in strength. You know, the Bible says one can put 1,000 to flight, but two, 10,000. You see, it's not just an addition, it's a multiplication. One, 1,000, but two, 10,000. There's such power when we join together in agreement with others. It reminds me of what Jesus said, if two or three gather together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And if any two agree together as touching anything, it shall be done for them of my Father in heaven. So there's such power when people come together in relationships and agreement. But I'm talking about real Christianity, where we love one another, we encourage one another, we bear each other's burdens, we restore each other, encourage, build up, lift up brothers and sisters in the Lord. Listen, Jesus' command to his disciples, love one another as I have loved you. Now I want to encourage you this morning that if you just show up for church, don't have any real relationships or connection with other believers, there's no way that you can fulfill all of the commands of one another in Scripture. You need to be involved. You need to get to know some people. You need to interact with some people. You see, here's Jesus' design for his church, that it is a body, that it functions as a body. We have to have relationships with one another. And it is only as we function as a healthy body of Christ that we can really and truly be effective at reaching the world. How did he pray? He said, I pray that they might be one, that the world would believe. I pray they would be one, so the world would know that you've sent me. Jesus makes it very plain and clear that if we're really going to reach this world, we got to be one. We got to have relationships. We got to have a closeness. And let me tell you, the people in this world are looking for something that's real, something that's genuine. They're not looking for religion. Man, there's religion everywhere. But what people really need to see is genuine Christianity. They need to see Jesus. How are they going to see Jesus? In his body. And when do they see Jesus? In his body. When we love one another as he has loved us. And so I challenge you this morning, church, to realize that we are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Each one of us is a member, a part of the body of Christ. But we are all part of that body of Jesus Christ. And as we function as he intended it, then he's going to reach people through us. And when people come into the church, now, one of the things that has happened in this generation, and I'm sure that this has been down through history, but it is so epidemic in our generation. Every church has this issue, this problem. They have a revolving door where people are coming in and people are going out at the same time. And to put it in carnal terms, one of the real keys of church growth is you got to just have people coming in faster than they're going out. Because every church, to some degree, has this going on where people are coming in and going out. Now, there are always going to be people, especially in such a mobile society like ours, there's going to be people that move into the area and people that move away. There's things like that that happen. But I can assure you that most of that revolving door is not just because people are moving to another location. And the real key to closing that revolving door where people are no longer leaving and where where people are staying instead of leaving. The real key is relationships. It's not about how good the music is, how good the preaching is, or any, thank God, or anything else like that. It is about the relationships that are made between people. And when it's all said and done, it's those relationships that hold us together, those ligaments that every joint supplies, that binds us together in love. It's those relationships. And so, church, I just want you to realize this. As people come into our church, it is imperative that we exhibit the love of Jesus and reach out to those people and show them and make a connection with them. You know, this is kind of an unusual term, but we need to be a relational church. It's not just about coming for a service. It is about the relationships that are built between one another. Amen. As we love one another. And I really believe that God has ordained our small group ministry and that God is using that. And I just really believe that in the days ahead, it's just going to become more and more obvious and be used greater in a greater and greater measure to help us to do that. Now, you know, in the early church, the Bible says that they went from house to house, breaking bread and praying for one another. And in that society and in that culture, it was such a natural thing because many, many, many of those new Christians, when they believed in Jesus and were born again, they were ostracized from their family. Many of them lost their livelihood. And so it was a natural thing that they, you know, they were cut off from everybody else. When they put their faith in Jesus, they became a part of that church, and that was their family, and their close relationships all revolved around church. And so it was quite a natural thing that they went from house to house. But here in our society now, we're so spread out. And, you know, we just need to make every effort to keep our unity and to build those relationships and to love one another. And, you know, to realize that our relationships with other believers is a priority. And so our small groups just help to facilitate for that. You know, they went from house to house. Every day they were in the temple courts. Well, you don't have to come here every day, and you don't have to go from house to house every night. But I just want to encourage you to get involved in a growth group and just pray about that and see if, you know, which group that God would have you to become a part of. Now, this morning we are going to kick off a new semester